On this third day of March 2011 in San Diego, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 11th Canto, General History, Chapter 18, Description of Varnashram Dharma, text number 19. Bahir Jalashayam Gatva Tatropas Prishyavagyataha Vibhajya Pavitam Shesham Bunjita Shishamahitam. Taking the foodstuffs gathered through begging, one should leave the populated areas and go to a reservoir of water in a secluded place. There, having taken bath and washed one's hands thoroughly, remaining silent, one should distribute portions of the foodstuffs to others who may request it. Then, having thoroughly cleansed the remnants, one should eat everything on one's plate, leaving nothing for future consumption. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that a saintly person should not argue or quarrel with materialistic persons who may request or demand part of his foodstuff. The word vibhajya indicates that one should give something to such persons to avoid disturbance, and then, offering the remnants to Lord Vishnu, one should eat everything on one's plate without saving food for the future. The word bahihi indicates that one should not eat in a public place, and vagyata indicates that one should eat silently, meditating upon the Lord's mercy. Om jnana timurandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshu unmidatam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So we're not going to go to great length on this verse. This is continuing the description of how the sannyasi should sustain himself. And the basic principle here is that he should not become too dependent on one source of sustenance. That's one of the principles. Go to seven different houses and no more. And, you know, don't pick them out because this one gave me more yesterday, whatever, you know. And now the actual partaking of the foodstuffs, which will become prasadam when he offers it, if someone comes and wants some of it, then you should give them. You know, don't create a disturbance. Those who are familiar with Bhagavatam, the story of Ranti Dev, it reminds me of this. Ranti Dev was a great king who was known for his charitable disposition, extreme charitable disposition. So he once performed a fast, it was a 30-day fast or something. You know, and so it's a painting that shows you very thin. You know, he had become very thin, obviously. So it became time to break the fast. He's a king, you know, so he had all these, a big, nice plate of prasadam offered. And he's about to take it when, I forget the order now, I didn't study it, but a beggar comes. And he's wanting some food, you know. He says, okay, so he gives half to the beggar. And he's about to partake, you know. And another one comes, and progressively a dog comes. And he ends up giving everything away to these different beggars. And there's even a little water left, and the water, someone wants the water. You know, so Ranti Dev, he's open-hearted. He never gets angry, disappointed, depressed at this. He's just giving charity, giving charity, giving charity. And after the whole thing had been done, and he, you know, hadn't been able to break his fast, actually, these different entities who had come, they reveal that they were the demigods coming to test him and show that, really exalt him as the pinnacle of charitableness, you know, detached charitableness. You can see how wonderful that is. So this reminds me of that, because, you know, anyone who comes, give them portion, you know, and then partake everything. And don't plan for the future. You know, this is the idea. Once again, the sannyasi is completely dependent on Krishna. And that means that he's not taking any care, you know, for tomorrow. You know, tomorrow may be a fast day. You never know. Maybe you won't get anything. It's kind of like the python man who Prahlad Maharaj met. He's just lying. Whatever comes, it comes. He said, Prahlad was puzzled. He said, you seem to be quite corpulent. He said, yes, sometimes people come and give me all this food. Sometimes I don't eat, you know, whatever comes, you know, like that. So these are not practices that we're meant to do, but the central spirit is important to understand. And that's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. This is in the fourth chapter, I believe. It's a symptom of one who's acting in knowledge and is detached, is satisfied with what comes easily of its own accord. That's the principle. And in that way, one can remain peaceful and practice yoga in the mode of goodness. You know, if you're always wondering, did I get enough? Am I going to get some tomorrow? You know, it's a Sunday feast. It's not enough. You know, I'm serving out. Maybe I should stop serving out and sit down. You know, this is what mentality we shouldn't be in anxiety. Krishna will provide. And if we're not provided to what we thought was our needs or wants on that particular day, then that's a lesson from Krishna. You know, Krishna's teaching us how to be detached. Haribol, you know. That's mature devotional service. So we're going to go on. We're going to try to move ourselves along through this section if we can. All right, I'll read the Sanskrit. Ekas charen mahim etam niksanga sanyatendriya atma krida atma rapta atma van samadarshana. So it's a long quote for you. Without any material attachment, with senses fully controlled, remaining enthusiastic, and satisfied in realization of the Supreme Lord and his own self, the saintly person should travel about the earth alone. Having equal vision everywhere, he should be steady on the spiritual platform. Purport. One who remains attached to material sense gratification cannot be steady in the process of chanting Hare Krishna. Being shackled by illusory desires, he is not able to fully control the senses. Actually, one should take shelter of devotional service to Lord Krishna 24 hours a day, for by such service, one remains within the scope of spiritual reality. By chanting and hearing the holy names of the Lord, along with the Lord's glories and pastimes, one naturally drifts away from the field of material sense gratification. Good association with Lord Krishna and his devotees automatically vanquishes useless material association, and one is able to carry out the Vedic injunctions meant to lift the conditioned soul out of the material field and onto the liberated platform of Krishna consciousness. In this regard, Srila Rupa Goswami states in his Upadeshamrita 4, Dadati pradgunnati guyamakyati pritchati bhunte bhojayate chaiva shadvidham priti lakshanam. Offering gifts and charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind and confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasadam and offering prasadam are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. One who thus learns to associate with the Lord's devotees actually remains insulated from the contamination of material life. By pure association, one gradually understands the name, form, qualities, associates, pastimes, and devotional service of Lord Sri Krishna. And thus, even in this lifetime, one can become a resident of the spiritual world. In the association of pure devotees, there is no material contamination and no useless discussion, since all pure devotees are fully engaged 24 hours a day in the loving service of the Lord. By the influence of such devotees, one develops equal vision, samadarshan, and sees the realized knowledge of Krishna consciousness everywhere. As one begins to understand his eternal relationship with Lord Krishna, he becomes atmavan, situated in his constitutional position. An advanced Vaishnav, constantly enjoying the mellows of loving devotional service and carrying out the mission of the Lord on the earth, is Atma-Krida, one who enjoys life within the internal potency of the Lord, of the Supreme Lord. The advanced devotee remains constantly attracted to the Supreme Lord and his devotees, and is therefore Atma-Rata, fully satisfied by constant engagement in devotional service. One cannot possibly develop the exalted qualities mentioned here without becoming an unalloyed devotee of Lord Krishna. One who is envious of the Lord and his devotees becomes attracted to bad association, gradually loses control of the senses, and falls down into the network of impious life. The innumerable varieties of non-devotees are like branches sprouting from the single tree of envy of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And their association should be given up by all means. Without unalloyed devotional service to the Lord, one loses touch with the desire and mission of the personality of Godhead and becomes attracted to worshipping the wonderful male and female creations of the Lord's illusory energy, demigods, demigoddesses, celebrities, politicians, prostitutes, etc. In this way, one foolishly considers something besides Lord Krishna to be supremely wonderful. Actually, Lord Krishna is the only true object of worship for those desiring to experience unlimited beauty and pleasure. By seriously taking to Krishna consciousness, one can realize the transcendental position of Lord Krishna and gradually develop all of the qualities mentioned in this verse. Nice purport. So, now here's a verse and a purport that definitely applies 100% to our practice and our endeavors to purify ourselves. So, without any material attachment, living on the earth. Now, the idea of going everywhere alone. Well, devotees never want to be alone. We want to be alone in the sense of being separated from the association of non-devotees. That's what alone means in devotional parlance. Literally to be alone. I mean, this is a movement of Sangha, Sankirtan. Sankirtan means coming together to glorify the Lord. So, the devotees want to be with other devotees. Now, traveling is one thing. A sannyasi preacher travels from place to place. But he travels where there are devotees, where there are temples, or by his influence he makes devotees in temples. And that we saw that with Srila Prabhupada. He was so powerful that his sangha, his association, was able to purify for those who were fortunate enough to partake of that sangha in the proper way. The purification took place, and they in turn became devotees who could then give others sangha. And this way the movement spreads. And what happens within that sangha? Well, the most important thing that happens is hearing and chanting about Krishna. Satamba sangam mamavirya sambhido. We're back to this. You can't really get away from this idea of sangha. Niksanga sangyatendriya. Niksanga means free from bad association or bad attachment. It's so interesting, the Sanskrit language, just by studying that, a lot of philosophy comes out. The word sangha means association, and it also means attachment. And so what we associate with, we become attached. You know, you become affected by that mode. If you're always listening to a certain kind of music, you know, you may have a propensity for it, but you listen to it and it becomes your music, you know, different kinds of that genre of music. And you're associating with those who are making the music. You're associating with those who wrote the music. This is a very important idea, is that association, there's personal association, which is very powerful, but there's also association through media. You know, the media. You know the media. Media simply means a channel through which someone influences you with some idea, some image, some sound, some philosophy, whatever it may be. And so we have to be aware of that. That to partake of the proper association means to control the senses and only associate with directly with devotees or with media that are giving us devotee association. Now, the most powerful media we have are Prabhupada's books. As soon as you open his books, you're associating with Srila Prabhupada in a way that is really pleasing to him. You're listening, you're paying attention. Of course, there's quality reading and there's superficial reading. But if you're absorbed in reading one of Srila Prabhupada's books with devotion and understanding, then that's a wonderful way to associate with Srila Prabhupada. And that association is always available, and it always will be available. You know, for 10,000 years anyway, as long as the Lord Chaitanya's movement is going. So this is Prabhupada's greatest gift, is the association. And what did he give us? He gave us the holy name. That's the association of Krishna. By associating with Krishna through his holy name, one quickly becomes purified and one becomes attracted to Krishna. I always love this purport in the Madhya Lila. It's a purport to this verse I like to chant often. Kama dinam katina katita. And that verse, which Srila Prabhupada quoted several times, I've heard him. It's a devotee's prayer. It's actually Madhavendra Puri's verse. And he's saying, in so many ways, I've been serving lust, anger, greed. They've been my masters, cruel masters. You know, they don't show me any mercy, and they're never satisfied with my service. Just go on demanding service. It's like slavery. But I'm willingly serving them. In other words, it's a voluntary slavery. So now the devotee is saying, because of the my awakening intelligence, and this is the key. This is what human beings have that animals don't have. With our intelligence, we can contemplate these things. We can hear and understand and change the impulses of the senses and control the senses in the mind. So the devotee says, now my higher intelligence has awoken and I'm giving up these desires, the lust, the anger, the greed. But it's not easy. You know, we're so habituated. So he's running to the Lord. He said, now I'm approaching you, O shelter of fearlessness, Krishna. Please engage me in your service. Without that service of the senses, of serving the Lord with our senses, mind, and intelligence, then the lust and the its concomitants, anger and greed and all the other things, which have taken up their place in the intelligence, mind, and senses, according to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, their powerful influence will drag us this way and that way. So two things have to be there. The desire to give up these lower things and the willingness to serve the higher, you know, associate with Krishna. So here, this idea of association is very important. Giving up bad association, fully controlling the senses, wandering on the earth, not considering any place, you know, so you get attached to a certain place, certain home, certain environment. That's important. And then Atma Krita, Atma Rata, and Atma Van. It's these three qualities. So let's see. So Atma Krida, or those are activities. What did he have? One who enjoys life within the internal potency of the Lord. So Krida means activities or lila. So if we're truly Krishna conscious and we're hearing about, meditating on Krishna's pastimes, and we're also enacting them in our own little way, you know, Sankirtan is actually part of Lord Chaitanya's lila. So we're part of that lila. And then that is spiritual past. That's within the internal energy. And that's very joyful. It doesn't get stale. You know? How long have we been chanting this Hare Krishna? You know? If someone from the outside looks and said, God, you guys are so stereotyped. Every day you're doing the same thing. You're singing the same songs, you know, chanting those same sounds, reading those same books. Don't you ever get tired of that? And the answer is no. It's not tiring. The appreciation for these very things that we do every day gets deeper and deeper. Till the holy name, we can actually chant the holy name with the kind of attitude and the kind of appreciation that the great acharyas are telling. Rupa Goswami, he's so sweet to him that he wants to have millions of mouths to chant it and millions of ears to hear it. You know, that's the appreciation. Or Sanatana Goswami, he says, Padamam Amritam Ekam, this is my sole and only nectar. Is this holy name, my only ornament, my only possession. You know, that's an appreciation for chanting. Then why do you want to stop? Why stop? You know, if you're experiencing newer and newer pleasure and varieties of realization by chanting Krishna's holy name, realizing that it's non-different from Krishna himself, and that means all the lila and all of the qualities of Krishna manifesting just by chanting the holy name. What's the reason for stopping? There's no reason. We're only stopping because the mind is still conditioned and we're fighting the holy name and we're fighting surrender. That's why we stop. So let's go through. Then there's Atmavan, you know. Or the Atmavan means steady on the spiritual platform. And Atmarata, completely satisfied in spiritual understanding. You know, this is a wonderful platform to aspire for. So then there's the how to associate. This is a key element. You know, what happens when devotees come and they go? Well, due to inattention, due to sloppiness in their sadhana, or not carefully studying, you commit offenses. You commit offenses mostly against the devotees. Krishna is so tolerant, we commit so many offenses against the deity, it's very painful. But we're not kicked out, you know. But when you kick, he's very tolerant. But when you commit offense against the devotees, it becomes very painful to come in the association of devotees. And that's Krishna kicking you out. That's how we left the spiritual world. You know, Krishna can tolerate anything in the spirit, but we became a disturbance to the other devotees in their service to Krishna. And so we're in the rehab now. It's called the material world. You know. So the idea, so that's why he quotes here from the Upadeshamrita, a very important instruction. This loving exchanges, you know, giving prasadam, accepting prasadam, giving gifts, accepting gifts, revealing one's mind, you know, listening to devotees. These are different ways in which you can make the association so sweet. And in that association, of course, you're going to hear about Krishna, you're going to be able to serve. You know, serving together. This is what Sankirtan is all about. So much of what we read here, this is an isolated devotee. This is wonderful. He's alone, you know. But you can do so much together. You know, this was the whole idea between the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You leverage your service, you know. Like, what's the meaning of my service if there's no book distributors? You know, nothing. You know, there's books, I mean, it's something, but the books will just pile up. But they're distributing, we're producing these books. This is the way Prabhupada set it up. Or a temple. A temple is a cooperative effort, you know, to glorify Krishna. And everybody serves. You dress the deities, you know, beautifully. We're so fortunate to have these dedicated pujaris. So the deities are dressed so nicely. They're enlivening the devotees. Devotees are in turn enlivened to do so much service. You know, people come in, see the deities, the prasadam is there. You see how everything multiplies. You know, Krishna's giving himself, but it's through the collective effort of the devotees. So cooperation is so important. You know, this is the idea of a society. And doing that, your own service is enhanced. To think that it's just me and Krishna is a total illusion. There's a spiritual master, the spiritual master's representatives, the other devotees, and this is much more pleasing to Krishna than just doing solitary service. There's a time for that. The japa, the thing is, there's time for solitude. But most of the time, there's collective service to Krishna. So one thing I wanted to recall, you know, the importance of hearing, you know, is constantly mentioned in the Bhagavatam, and that comes through association. So in the third canto, there's the other side, you know, by contrast. When there's contrasting statements, then everything becomes more clear, just like a contrast in a picture. I mean, we've all played around with Photoshop probably a little bit, you know, let's up the contrast so I can see what's going on in the picture, right? So similarly, throughout the Bhagavatam and the Gita, you'll find Krishna with contrasting statements. You know, there's chapter 16. He begins with all of this list of saintly qualities so that you can really see what the demonic qualities are also, right? So in the third canto, it's just a description of the kingdom of God. It's when the Kumaras go up to the Vaikuntha planets and they have all this whole interaction with the Jaya and Vijaya and their curse to become Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. But there's a section there, it's a description of Vaikuntha. And then there's a description it could be Lord Brahma's prayers. I think it may be Lord Brahma's prayers for creation. But anyway, he has all this wonderful description of I'll never forget this one. Yetu tudi chadanamu to kosha gandam. He's describing how those devotees, they drink through the ears, or smell through the ears, the fragrance of your lotus feet, carried on the words of the Vedas. You see, all the senses are enlivened by this transcendental sound. And he goes on like that. But then he also has a verse about the other thing, about those who don't hear your glories. And the mention here is that who goes to Vaikuntha? Those who absorb themselves in devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, basically. Who doesn't go to Vaikuntha? And that's what this verse is about. Yang na vajan agabado vachana navada chinvandiyenya vishaya kukata matigni yastu shuta hatabagaya nibanata sadas tang tang chapunta chadaneshu tamaksu hanta. The hanta means alas, alas. So he says, "Yan navrajanti." Those who don't go to Vaikuntha are those who listen to other creations of sound, other words, besides the those glorifying the Agavida, Krishna, who destroys all sin, and Rachayanti. Rachayanti means the creation of words. In this case, in other words, anything. Other subjects, kukata means bad kata, bad sounds, maya sounds, you know, illusories, which is matigni, which destroys your intelligence, matigni. Yastu shuta, those who are hearing such sounds, hatabagai, all of their good fortune is stolen away. Atasaras, the essence of life is you know, invisible to them. They can't understand it. Atasadas. And tang tang chapandi, they are thrown, you know, into the lowest regions of ignorance. Ashadaneshu, without a shelter. Tamaksu, in darkness. Alas. He says, this is how he says. So everything depends on the quality of the sound that we're hearing. What we're reading and writing, what we're hearing and chatting. This is the basis of our consciousness. So if we're intelligent, we'll associate with devotees personally or through the media, so that our minds are always enlivened by this transcendental sound. And that's not enough. We also have to repeat it. The chanting, the Prabhupada says, more important even than reading is hearing and explaining. In other words, the idea of reading or reading is okay, but discussing amongst each other, you know, reading out loud to each other. I always love Vaisheshika's, you know, his whole life is dedicated to the books, distributing, reading, chanting, hearing. And, you know, if you hang out for a while and say, okay, let's read, you know. So you sit down in a circle, you can go for hours reading Prabhupada's books, discussing, you know. Wherever he goes, there's a little circle he's reading, you know. It's perfect association. So that's what good association comes with. And then we can develop these qualities of Atma Van, Atma Krita, and Atma Rata to actually feel ourselves peaceful and happy in devotional service, because our minds are saturated with these things. And we're able to impart the knowledge to others and inspire others to also learn the knowledge and to take up the practice of devotional service. And now this last paragraph is great. Without unalloyed devotional service, one loses touch with the desire and mission of the personality of Godhead, because attracted to worshiping the wonderful male and female creations. So that, you know, this is the choice we have. We're going to be enthralled one way or another. Right now, the material energy is very fascinating, you know, for the conditioned soul. There's always something new that, you know, will fascinate you. Up and down the modes. You know, yes, I used to listen to, you know, this kind of music. Now I'm more involved in this music. I liked that person for a while, but that didn't work out. You know, now this is other person. Now I'm really going to be happy, you know. And you keep trying. Oh, so many drugs. There's so many designer drugs coming out now. You know, the demons are always figuring out how to make more money and how to degrade everything. So they stay one step ahead of the law, the police. So they're making all these special little designer drugs. And these poor kids, they don't know what they're doing, you know, they get addicted to this. What are they looking for? They're looking for a change in consciousness. You know, their ordinary consciousness is too depressing or too boring or whatever, so let's do something. Let's get drunk, or let's take this drug, or let's do this, have some sex, you know. But all of it simply produces that feeling of emptiness, because then after it's finished, oh, now what? Of course, it's the reactions, so sometimes very immediate. And then there's now what do we do? Now what do we do? Oh, we'll have some extreme experience, extreme danger. You know, we'll ride down a mountain on a bicycle. Yeah, we may break our legs, but the right, isn't that one of the things people, you know, the adrenaline, it's just adrenaline. You're high on that drug, you know, the thrill. Otherwise, you feel dead. You know, this is the kind of culture we live in. Whereas devotees, just give me a nice kirtan, you know, and I'm happy, you know. The Sunday feast is actually kind of a miraculous thing, you know, when you think about it. Here, people, you know, you come, and we have a certain crew, you know, but there's always new people drifting in, you know. And you see, I've been here for so long, you know. And what is it really? You know, you chant Hare Krishna, you listen to this philosophy, and you take prasadam, and there aren't the usual things, you know. I mean, there's maybe a little bit going on, but basically there's no, you know, you're not going to meet your mate there generally. You know, you're not going there for that. You know, the music is nice, but it's not really, you know, heavy-duty, you know, band music or anything. And it's just good company. But it's Krishna, you know, because it's Krishna, and there's a mood of peacefulness and non-exploitative, and it's transcendental. People become satisfied and come back again looking for that. You know, so that's just a taste of what this Atma Rata, you know, is. The self-satisfaction that you're tapping in to that reservoir of pleasure, which is Krishna in your heart. And wherever there is Krishna, the whole spiritual world is there. Our whole spiritual world is there within our heart. And we've lost touch with it, and we're looking outside in the reflection and becoming dissatisfied. This is a philosophy. And the way it's awakened is through hearing and chanting. Chiefly, the holy name. You know, perfecting, working on our japa. This is an important thing. To try to perfect that, increase it. That's the central practice. If you have good japa, you'll be very enthusiastic for kirtan. And vice versa, it should be. You know, if you really get into kirtan, then you should be able to get absorbed in the holy name in your japa. But that's our main connection, you know, our lifeline. I'm telling you, you know, without the kirtan and the japa, none of this would make any sense. You know, it would have never happened. It would have never grown. Because that gives you a taste. It gives you an insight. And Krishna from within your heart is giving you intelligence to understand this and believe it. You know, that's a fact. So, if you make offense against the holy name, you have no taste for the holy name, gradually you're not interested in kirtan so much, you have something else to do, and, you know, japa, yeah, a little bit here and there, suddenly the veil comes down again, and there's so many other things to do and think about in this world, and Hare Krishna. It can happen. It's happened. So don't let that happen. You know, stay strong in Krishna consciousness, good association, strict in sadhana, and we'll never be, you know, fascinated by the wonderful male and female creations of the Lord's illusory energy. Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions? These points? I'll read this last verse again. It's really nice. Without any material attachment, with senses fully controlled, remaining enthusiastic and satisfied in realization of the Supreme Lord and his own self, the saintly person should travel about the earth alone, having equal vision everywhere. He should be steady on the spiritual platform. I mean, this whole verse is just a description of Prabhupada, except the alone part. Prabhupada perfectly personified this. No material attachment, senses fully controlled, very enthusiastic, satisfied in realization of Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, saintly person, travel around the earth, equal vision everywhere, steady on the spiritual platform. That's Prabhupada. Perfect devotee. Yeah.
You mentioned this point about how they'll ride bicycles down the hills because of adrenaline and that kind of thing. I mean, we did all that stuff when we were kids and we didn't think anything of it, but what comes to my mind in relation to many things is the demonic brilliance of the marketing machine now, where they've taken this BMX sport and even something more ridiculous, where they've taken skateboarding and they've turned it into a multi-billion dollar industry, and the people that are involved in it or maybe a step below NASCAR drivers, or the same in their own genre, you know, to that age group. And it's, you're riding a bike and you're on a skateboard, and they've tapped so much into the psychology of that age group that they're able to market it and extract money based on a skateboard.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, the thrill that comes from competition, from developing a skill like that, from celebrity, certainly, and even, of course, money comes from, you know, the top level, you know. That's all very exciting for a certain period of time in your life. But it's just like, you know, it's the flash, the glitter, you know, of Maya, you know, that's just distracting you from what's really important. It's not easy to get out of that. Once you're into that mood and mode to I remember it. I used to know a kid who was the son of this Diane de Matisse. And he was a skateboarder. I first met him. We used to do a program, and he wasn't interested in the program. And he was on a skateboard. He was like 14, 13, 14. And he was, you know, really good skateboarder. You know. And then something happened. He got beaten up, some bullies or something. You know. And he fixed his mind. He was a very determined kid. He said, I'm going to learn how to fight, you know. And so he got into that aspect of it. He became really good at it. And through that, he met some yoga. He got really good at yoga, you know. And before long, he was, you know, involved. And he never became a full-on devotee, but he became like a top-flight yoga instructor, you know, from that. But the fortunate ones are those who go through a trauma. A better example is this devotee, Gurutama. I don't know if you remember him. Gurutama was a black body devotee who was going to be a professional football player. He was in college. And he was that good, you know. But he got an injury. And his whole career was destroyed, you know. It was like very traumatic. So by good fortune, he met a devotee, I don't know how, and got a book. And started reading the books, you know. And his material life had been crushed. But his determination and his, you know, one pointedness, which it takes to be a top athlete also, was directed toward Krishna consciousness. And he became the leading book distributor in America for a while. You know, in L.A., he was one of the leading devotees there. So that, you know, Krishna's kind when he smashes and gives you good, some good association. You both have to be there. And I have another friend in Toronto, same thing happened. He's an Indian fellow who was like top in cricket in India. It's huge there, you know. Came to Canada, you know, he's a top flight software engineer, still got into cricket, you know, got an injury. He just couldn't do it as like he did anymore. And some very kind soul when it was going around door to door, distributed a book. And they took the book, they're pious, he and his wife had read the book, and before you know it, they're going to be initiated soon by Radha Swami. So Krishna's kind when he breaks our, you know, attachment for these things and gives us good association. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.